from your council table is the Township Law Director, Mr. Robert Malloy, also of Wood and Lambing. I'd like to reserve 6 minutes for rebuttal, which Mr. Malloy will begin. The issue certified by this court is a very narrow one. And that issue is, what would the Ohio legislature mean when it allowed townships the power to regulate telecommunications towers in areas, quote, zoned for residential use? Now, this court gave the court two completely divergent opinions, one from the First District Court of Appeals, the other from the Second District, which put this language, which both courts agreed was plain and unambiguous, at issue before this court. These two dichotomous cases provide this court with a choice of either judicially rewriting an Ohio statute and the Sims Township zoning resolution, as the First District Court of Appeals did, to add words to the statute which cannot be found anywhere within its text.
Mr. Lundgren, if we were to adopt your argument, wouldn't the practical effect of that be that township trustees could regulate towers in every zoning district, because people clearly can live in a commercial district if they want to, they can live in an agricultural district if they want to, and at some point you get to a point, I suppose, where the residential occupation of that district may become somewhat substantial, as it is in the next case. And doesn't that mean then, if we adopt your argument, that every district becomes, every zoning district becomes a residential district?
Mr. Chief Justice, I'm very glad you asked that question, because I would like to address that from the outset. We contend, Sims Township contends, that in fact, yes, the logical nexus established by the Ohio legislature is that where telecommunications towers, the development of very tall telecommunications towers, collides with the interest of the local township in regulating to prevent steady farm to residents, we can regulate. If that means that we can regulate in every area of a township because the Board of Township Trustees or the local zoning authority has decided within its discretion that it is advisable or appropriate to allow residential development in every area of the township, then we are allowed to regulate in every area of the township.
But the statute only gives you limited authority to regulate, doesn't it?
The statute is not a limitation, we don't believe, Justice. We believe that the general zoning authority, the starting point for this, for townships to zone, is 519.02, which gives townships the authority to zone, to protect, among other things, aesthetic interest. The second portion that we need to examine here is 519.211A, which is the restriction. That restriction relates to public utilities. We cannot zone public utilities or acquire zoning power to them. However, 519.211B is a reaffirmation, a restatement by the legislature of the township's general power to zone with regard to these particular public utilities. And this court has established that these companies are public utilities in the Campanelli case.
Okay, but that's the statute that's supposed to be construed in derogation of canon law, right? And therefore, strictly construed?
Well, it is canon of construction, Judge. And the fact that it is...
Do you agree with that or not?
Do I agree that which portion of the statute should be construed in derogation of canon law?
Well, the zoning regulation.
Well, I believe that 519.211B ought to be construed as it is written, by its plain language. I don't believe it should be given a more expansive interpretation than the plain language allows, but I believe by the plain language of the statute, the Ohio legislature clearly stated that townships can regulate in areas which are zoned to allow residential uses.
All right, let me just follow up in your answer to the chief question. You said that because the higher use of residential use can be permitted in other zoning classifications, that the township can then regulate all the zoning classifications. Is that your view?
If in fact that is the situation, and that's not the situation in Sims Township, we do have districts which do not permit residential use at all. But if that is the case, and that is within the discretion of the local zoning authority to determine that, have the right to protect the aesthetic interest of residents.
Which means your view is that you can regulate in areas that are zoned for other than residential use in certain instances if residences are permitted in those districts. Is that your view?
Well, Your Honor, to say zoned for other uses, I believe, implies that, or another use, implies that there is just one use in a district. And that is the view of the Court of Appeals of the First District, which somehow believes that we could use some type of magical dividing rod to figure out what the primary use or the actual use is within a district. Those words are nowhere within the statute, and every time they're used, it's a fabrication. However, every zoning district within Sims Township establishes multiple uses within it. It is simply too simplistic to say that you can look at the title of a district and tell what a zoning area, or what an area is zoned for in terms of its uses. You can't do it. And I would give an example to the court. For example, if a township in an area that was designated as a historic district, clearly the township's interest in regulating an area like a historic district where you have multiple uses, all of which have been determined by the legislature to be compatible with residential uses. The township interest in regulating the aesthetic harm to that area, such as German Village in Palmas, to not allow a cell tower there or to take remedial effect, require remedial measures to eliminate the harm, is clearly great.
Yeah, but that's...
Let me suggest that a historic district which allows residential use, that a local zoning authority somehow gets less interest in regulating aesthetic damage in that district than they do in a residential.
But that's an accepted zoning classification of mixed uses. I mean, to judge this case, I draw on my experience, and I want you to tell me where I'm wrong. As a Toledo City Councilman, I zoned lots and lots of different pieces of property. Every time we were going to zone something residential from agricultural, agricultural is A1, residential would be 1, 2, or 3, depending on the size of the lot. We had to make a change. Why doesn't that show that the two districts are different?
Judge, it shows that there is a decision by the legislature that a mixture of uses is more compatible in one area than it is in another. For example, cumulative zoning is a question of, if you will, degrees. Industrial areas, and we do have a cumulative zoning code, and I believe you probably did too, although I'm not familiar with
sure.
But, in an industrial area, for example, in Sims Township, we do not allow residential uses because they are completely incompatible with industrial uses. In residential areas, we do not allow industrial
uses. Sure, that's standard all over. But the language isn't used for residential use. It's zoned for residential use.
Zoned for residential
Okay, now you're arguing use for residential use, as opposed to the specific zoning classifications, which are set up as separate entities, are they not?
No, we are not, Judge. We are arguing exactly the opposite. That is what the appellees would argue in amicus, but we are arguing that the test, the clearest test, the only test that makes any sense and is susceptible of interpretation and application, is that you read the zoning resolution and you look down the list to see if residential use is permitted. And if it is permitted,
the
Ohio legislature allowed us to regulate to protect the aesthetic damage that is caused to those uses within that district.
If your position is correct, that would mean that the zoning classifications are interchangeable, would it not? And specifically, would we permit cows in the middle of a residential neighborhood?
I think that the case that's coming next might address that issue.
Yeah, it will, but that's why we put them both together.
I don't think they're interchangeable, Judge. The issue is that...
Then if they're not, they're separate.
They are separate.
All right.
The title of the district only gives you so much information. It only gives you so much information. It's not controlling. It doesn't really tell you what is happening or what is allowed to happen.
Yeah, it does. The title controls what can go into that classification.
I make a difference with that.
You do? You mean
Because
put a slaughterhouse in a residential district?
No.
Why? Because it says this is what's permitted in a residential district.
But the title doesn't say that. The actual substantive provision.
I thought we were talking about substantive provision.
But if you look at, for example, the Title E retail district, you can't tell whether or not a slaughterhouse would be allowed there or not. You would have to read down the list
sure.
of uses that are permitted.
I concede that.
You know,
but it delineates what is permitted, does it not?
It does delineate what is permitted.
It doesn't, whenever it delineates what is permitted by operation, it also then shows what's excluded.
Well, our zoning code, the way it is set up, and I think that the codes in the past did this differently, our zoning code delineates what is permitted, mm-hmm. and what is not listed is prohibited.
That's what I just said.
But it makes sense to look at these issues. One is sympathetic to the notion that tax ought to be able to sell in at least a limited fashion these cameras to deal with on some of these. Wouldn't it make sense to look at your zoning ordinances attached to some ordinances from the standpoint of how they stack up? Because it's typical, I think, for all these years, that when you go to a residential zone, that there are lesser included or lesser municipalities and uses. So wouldn't it make sense to look at it in that way when it's residential? This is an area that is now stepped up in the zoning process to supplement both residential. You know, and here, on the fact of this case, isn't the tower subsidy behind the various
units?
Well, Judge, that's a very good question. And we suggest that the resolution to that question was left to the township applying the statute in its discretion in an administrative form. That's a good argument for them to make in the context of a public hearing that, look, there's no residential use around here, although in the record, Judge, there's record evidence that there's a residence, that there are residences.
Now, this isn't even zoned residential, is it?
It is, the zoning title is e-retail. To say that this is not zoned residential would be rewriting our zoning code. Because the zoning code, when you read that,
you regard this as a lesser included permissible use, residential.
But still a use. And the statute speaks in terms of uses allowed.
I guess the other issue that I'd like to have you address just briefly is the signs. I read the briefs from those representing the wireless industry. There's a limited reach. And so the towers are going to have to be everywhere. On article is some folks might find that. So they're going to have to be, the science requires that they be within a limited distance of the have the coverage required. Then there has to be an accommodation.
Justice Schreiber, that is exactly true. And the Congress has passed the Federal Telecommunications Act, which would prohibit townships and other local governments from banning telecommunications towers or doing anything that would effectively ban them. They do have that protection. Simms Township does not seek to ban telecommunications towers. We simply seek the right to do what the Ohio legislature gave us the right to do, which is to perform the balancing test that we perform in every other zoning situation. Look at the area. If it's an area where the interest of telecommunications providers in putting up a cell tower collide with the static.
But going back to the chief's question, you really want to do that everywhere in your township?
Everywhere.
Exclusively industrial.
Everywhere where the two interests collide in the logical nexus that was established by the legislature exists.
I guess my question to you on that is, why wouldn't the legislature have said that? If there is a residential use, if there's any residential housing in any zoning district, then the township trustees may regulate the erection of these ugly towers that we want to look at. They could have said it that way, could have said it that way, couldn't it?
We assert they did say it that way, Chief Justice. We believe that the statement in an area zoned for residential use means exactly what it says, that if residential use is allowed there, it's zoned for residential use.
But don't we assume with me for a second that the General Assembly certainly had, I would guess on this issue, they had vocal voices on both sides of the issue, certainly. Where can one erect these towers? And so B little C says an area zoned for residential use. That would appear in deciding what the intention of the General Assembly is okay, we're gonna set some islands here. The places where these are most offensive are where people live. And so if someone chooses to live in a commercial area, chooses to live next to a strip mall, for example, they're probably not as concerned about aesthetics as they are if they decide to live in an area that's zoned only residential. Is that a fair presumption, do you think? Or?
I don't think so, Judge, because I think it's within the Ohio legislature's ability to decide, and I believe they have decided with this statute, that where there are residential uses, period, those uses may be compatible with, for example, gas stations. They may be compatible with dry cleaning shops. They may be compatible with a home office. But they are not compatible with the highly industrialized use of a huge cellular telephone tower, a telecommunications tower, next to where someone lives. And that is perfectly within, it's logical, and it's perfectly within their discretion to do that. And I believe that is the presumption they have established, or the determination that they have made with this statute. And Judge, if you look at the statute, if you look at 519.211, the list of criteria to determine whether or not something even shall fall within the definition of a telecommunications tower, and you look at subsection DI and DII of that section. The first section relates to freestanding structures. And it says that those would be towers, freestanding telecommunications towers. It says that those towers are allowed throughout the township up to the height, the maximum allowable height of residential structures within the area. If you look at the next portion of that subsection, II, it talks about attached structures. It does not mention, it says attached structures which are attached to buildings or other structures. There is no mention of the word residential in DII. Clearly, that is an indication that the Ohio legislature contemplated that there would be structures other than residences in an area where cell towers were going to be put up, i.e. e-retail districts. We have water towers, we have radio towers, we have other buildings, any of which in an area could have an antenna attached to them. And the Ohio legislature recognized that fact, recognized in DI and DII that there would be telecommunications towers in residential areas, but there would also be other buildings. The DII recognized there would be other buildings to which towers could be attached. They didn't say residential buildings, they just said buildings, because they recognize there may be things other than residential use within the district.
They didn't say residential buildings?
They said residential.
They said residential structures?
In DI. And that applies to freestanding towers. And then in DII, the subsection that immediately follows that, they talk about buildings, not residential buildings, just buildings. And we believe, Judge, that the first district's decision makes bad law. The test is not able to be applied. You can't even tell how far its logical conclusion would reach.
You've used your time, Judge.
Okay. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Sir.
Is your client a public utility?
Pardon, Your Honor?
Is your client a public utility?
Yes, Your Honor.
Doesn't that make them exempt?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are they subject to any requirements, any zoning classifications?
The only place that we're not exempt, per se, would be in an area which is zoned for residential use. And we believe the statute is clear. It couldn't be any clearer. The converse, which they're attempting to argue, is that any district to which a residential use is permitted or not prohibited in any manner is a residential district. And picking up on the other question, even the industrial district in the Sims Township zoning resolution allows a living quarters for a night watchman or other person who is required by the nature of the industry to be on premises. So the industrial district allowing living quarters would be a residential use under their interpretation, and we believe that is so strained that it really bears no further comment. We'd like to just emphasize that the facts in this case, we believe, are extremely compelling. It is a retail district. The immediate vicinity has a heavy concentration of retail uses, gasoline service stations, convenience stores, auto repair facilities. No residents is within the immediate area or vicinity. We are a public utility, and Your Honor, I believe in the next case the facts are also compelling. I intend to address that in that case. That is an agricultural district, and we believe the purpose of the agricultural district is to set aside areas for farming, for agricultural use, and it only allows.
My understanding is that when the target here that it came to become residential, it was farming less. It got full development, it now made it residential. But under your definition, then that is called farming, agricultural, it is a power.
Your Honor, the agricultural district in the Beaver Creek Township case is primarily an agricultural district. It does allow one home per 5-acre area, which is not a subdivision. That's beyond the subdivision requirements. It is intended to keep out residential living. The subject property in the next case is a 35-acre commercial walnut tree farm. And for all the reasons which we're going to argue in the next case, I believe that we have a very compelling argument that is not a residential district either. It's intended to be reserved for agricultural use. Agricultural areas need this type of, the science does require.
Your
Honor, if the area were fully developed, the best you could do would be one home on a 5-acre parcel, nothing.
You're saying that this house is a restricted town, is that agricultural residence and no restriction on lot?
All right, so we're assuming hypothetically there's a township that has an agricultural district that allows residential uses in it.
And residential takes over now mostly residential. Still under your definition.
Well, I think that's a much closer question. I think you have to look at the code in the particular district you're talking about. And I think that maybe under some circumstances where you could, for example, fully subdivide an agricultural district into quarter-acre homes, it might be construed in that case that that would be a area zone for residential use.
If it was changed.
I believe you have to look at the code itself and how the area is zoned. In Beaver Creek, the agricultural district is not a residential district. They list about 5 residential districts, single family of varying lot sizes, multifamily, mobile home parks, then they go through the office, retail, industrial, and then eventually they come to the agricultural district. So in Beaver Creek, that is not an area zoned for residential use. It is an area zoned for agricultural use, which incidentally allows residences. You can have farmhouses, for example, but that is a township which does not allow subdivisions in the agricultural district. I agree to pose a question.
You can then go into that lot and build your tower right into the farmhouse.
Yes, you could. And the reason, Your Honor, that would happen is because the person who owns the farmhouse would have to agree to it. Their farmhouses are not built on the property line, they're built within the farm itself. So your concern that someone could build a tower right next to a farmhouse, it wouldn't be somebody else's farmhouse, it would be their own farmhouse. And that's what happened here. The Zinks, who live on this walnut tree farm, it's a commercial walnut tree farm, they live on that farm, and they have the tower located or proposed to be on their farm.
The questions and your answers seem to me to focus on what the issue is here. Do we not have to decide how to apply the words in an area zoned for residential use in the statute?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that if we decide that those words mean the township trustees have authority to to deny the power only in an area that is zoned exclusively, if that's the right word, for residential use, then that's the end of it, regardless of how many houses may be built in the agricultural area or commercial area over the years.
Yes, Your Honor. I think the word could be either exclusively or primarily.
At some point, I guess the township trustees can change the zoning. If an area becomes no longer agricultural, but it actually becomes residential, they can change the zoning, can't they?
They can do it on their own volition.
Your Honor, I want
to reserve time for my partner and also for our co-counsel. So,
They're two different phrases.
I just want to emphasize what is not an issue at this case, and obviously we'll get into the Beaver Creek case, that's in the next argument, but we're not dealing, as Mr. Lundgren suggested, with Columbus, for example. We're not dealing with municipal law. It's not Columbus or Akron or Toledo. We're dealing with the township law. The zoning authority comes not from the Constitution, home rule, as it does with municipalities, but solely from the legislature under Chapter 519. The cases are very clear, and also this case really doesn't have a lot of dispute over what the law is, that township zoning authority is that creature of statute and must be strictly construed. As Justice O'Donnell also mentioned, the general rule of construction that zoning is construed narrowly and in favor of the use of land also applies to this case. The justices, I think, have very accurately pointed out that the interpretation advanced by the township here essentially makes districts fungible, that they're all multi-use districts somewhere along a continuum, and that the title of the district, what we're very commonly used to, a single family, large lot, slightly smaller lots within single family, then ultimately multifamily classifications, and on down the line through office and ETFD, retail, and industrial, are of no significance. What I refer to as the Article X theory, and and since Township, the e-retail zone is Article X. They suggest that the use, any use permitted in the township is as equal as other use, and therefore you might as well call residential the country club district or the funeral home district or any other use that's there. I think we all know as a common sense point of view that that is not the common meaning of those words.
Council, I'm interested. Just a brief discussion aside. There's some in the briefs.
Yes.
This is the digital technology here.
Yes, the PCS technology is digital. Now, under the statute, though, it refers to telecommunications towers, which would not discriminate between digital and analog.
And that works, has their line of sight to operate it or not?
Basically, Your Honor, yes, it does. Depends on topography, tree cover, things like that, but basically that range is appropriate, yes.
Which would then require accommodation within virtually every township in the city, they're basically 5 or 6 miles square.
I think that's fairly accurate. The carriers, the PCS carriers are required by their FCC licenses to provide service to two-thirds of the population within their licensed area by the year 2005.
And it's not feasible to go up with your tower, to build a much taller tower, and expand your reach?
No, unfortunately not. Because of the megahertz range in which the frequency range in which this operates, and the power, very low power, it's not like the radio towers that have huge watts of power, that there is a very limited range.
Congress might be, depending on our trees, build more towers, shorter, less intrusive on the neighborhoods.
And there are...
But that would require more of them.
Right, and there are locations in which that is done in areas, not so much open areas, but where infill sites are required because of topography and so forth. And sometimes that is presented as a trade-off to a community. Would you rather have more?
One tall tower?
It's really, technologically not really an option. And I think one of the questions that was asked earlier on about doesn't this effectively mean under Sims' interpretation that all districts are residential? Certainly in Sims Township, they are, as they define it. Because they all permit some sort of residential use. They say industrial doesn't, the code says a watchman can live there, whatever. In the heavy industrial area, they also permit agriculture. But the point is that each one of those sites, under their argument, would require the town, would allow the township to have local hearings and so forth.
Because we have the other cases,
yes.
Is your position that there is nowhere in Sims Township where they would say we have to get our approval?
Oh, absolutely not.
No. I realize there's somebody's backyard that requirement, but
it's
entire areas that are.
All of the residential districts.
No, it's not residential. If you could go in and find some non-conforming use that was grandfathered in, could you say, well, we can sit our towers in the backyard?
No, I think not. All of the residential districts, under our interpretation, would include the multifamily residential district and the mobile home park, and that was the interpretation of the Hamilton County Authority, and has been the administrative interpretation across the state.
In those neighborhoods, if there's a grandfather non-conforming use, you can go to that location and say, aha, we've got you.
No, I wouldn't think so, because what we believe is that the district, what the first district court says, it is a area zoned residential, and that is what prevails.
Going to leave some time.
Yes, I just wanted to mention, we haven't discussed here, and probably will in the next argument, but briefly, that we believe very strongly, rather than argue about whether it's ambiguous or unambiguous, you have to look at this statute, the whole entire statute, not focusing just on the word use, as SIMS does, but on the entire statute as a whole. And in doing so, you see, even with the amendments, which I think are extremely important, that the legislature has acted, if anything, to add additional criteria to trigger township regulation to make it more stringent rather than to open it up to additional regulation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard. Ms. Packard.
Your Honors, my name is Dwight Packard, and I represent Henry Schneider, trustee, the owner of the subject property. I don't have much to add from AT&T's position other than to point out that obviously from the property owner's perspective, this is land in a retail district. The appellant has suggested that the zoning district is meaningless unless you go to the substance of the actual code. Obviously, for purposes of the zoning map, which the property owners are relying on, the property is identified by the zoning district, and is, for that reason, the property owner obviously leased this premises to the commercial tenant, AT&T, for use as a cell tower. I see our time has expired. I have one brief point I would like to make with the board's permission. Appellant has raised revised code section 519.02 as an alternative basis for authority. I believe that section only allows townships to regulate health, safety, and morals within the township. It does not include provision for the general welfare, which I believe would be the aesthetic concerns that we are attempting to do just like that.
Thank you, Mr. Packard.
Thank you.
Mr. Malloy, if you're going to use your time, it may take 30 seconds.
Good morning. Bob Malloy, law director of Sims Township. Let me give you one simple scenario. There is a tower that's existing right now in this area that is zoned for residential use. There is a dispute on that. It's a single tower. May another tower be built right next door, right next door, right next door. Under the argument of AT&T, absolutely, they can spread these towers wherever they want. What would be a simple zoning response to that? The simple zoning response is, let us provide and encourage co-location of antennas so there only needs to be one tower instead of three towers. That is the kind of zoning response that the Sims Township is looking for. Sims Township, in its own zoning code, says that telecommunication towers shall be allowed in every zoning district. This is not a prohibition that we're talking about, and there seems to be a conclusion that AT&T would like the justices to reach, that regulation is prohibition. Well, every building out there, every structure out there is regulated, but it's there. That's the process of zoning. The process of zoning is grouping different uses based on the local community that appear to be compatible. There's no priority. The list of uses in each zoning district is listed alphabetically. It has there's no other priority. It's listed alphabetically.
You've used your time for the work. Thank you. That case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.